Good morning. Welcome to the conference call for the earnings of Boa Safra for Q3 2021. We have with us Mr. Marino Colpo, CEO of Boa Safra, Glauber Caldas, COO of Boa Safra, and Felipe Marques, CFO of Boa Safra. We inform that the participants will be in the listen mode only for the conference call, and next we will begin the Q&A session. During the Q&A session, we ask that the questions be sent to the webcast platform. The slide selection will be controlled by you. Now, I would like to pass the floor to Felipe, who will make the presentation. Please, Felipe, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mariana. Well, good morning. My name is Felipe, and I just arrived in Formosa. I am part of the Boa Safra team now for less than a month, and it is with great joy that I am working as CFO and RI of the company. Today is a special day. We will talk about the earnings of Q3 2021, and we have good news. I will pass the floor to our CEO, Mariano Colpo, to share with you our results. Thank you.
Good morning. I would like to begin this presentation with a few words. It's important to show to all our investors that we always say that the cycle is seasonal. In Q1, we said that we have a seasonal. Our company, I would like to stress, we have this seasonality in terms of results in Q1 and Q2. They are weaker, very little billing, and very strong in expenses. These are the quarters where we produce, and in Q3, Q4, we are strong in revenue. These are the quarters when we bill. This quarter has arrived, and I'm very proud to say to you that we had the peak of the year, especially in billing and in revenue. Concerning all the metrics and any indicator, this quarter was the best quarter that Boa Safra had in 12 years of history. Well, we're very satisfied to show the results of this quarter. I'd like to speak a little about what is ahead of us. We are a company that is investing strongly, both in plants to increase our volume. Yes, we want to continue with great success and strong growth that the company had in its 12 years of history, and also investments in plants and distribution centers to have a greater quality for the product. Talking about ESG, our agenda is always concerned, especially with ESG, the environment. I'm also proud to announce to you that our photovoltaic plant is already working. In Q2, we announced that it was ready. Now it was turned on, and for more than 40 days, the photovoltaic plant is generating clean energy and is very aligned to our objectives of being a company that is more and more sustainable and also giving support to farmers to feed the world. I would like to go on to slide number three and talk about the highlights of the quarter. The first highlight is record revenue totaling 586.6 million in Q3 2021. This number is very good, especially when we compare that in 2020, in the whole year of 2020, we billed 588 million. So basically, in the third quarter of 2021, we had a billing equivalent to the whole year of 2020. Comparing year-over-year, and here we have the first three quarters in comparison with the first three quarters of 2020, we have almost 22% growth in sales volume. So, also looking at the 12 months, the last 12 months, so we have a growth of 45% in EBITDA and also a growth of 113% in net profit, net income. Reminding you that these are the last 12 months in comparison with the 12 months of 2020. Also, in this quarter, we're beginning to plant seeds. We will talk more about them in the next slides. Going on to slide number four, I would like to speak a little about the market and give you a general view, market overview of the soybean market. Today, the soybean market grows this way, basically based on two drivers. The first, the populational growth. You see numbers here from the UN, which show a strong growth of the population in the next decade from 7.6 to 8.2 billion people on Earth. And with populational increase, we will have an increase in the need for food. So our part is involved here, protein. So when the population goes up, you have an increase in demand for soybean, and we also have a driver of growth of income, especially in Asian countries. When we look at this, all this growth and all this demand that will come for food and vegetable protein for soybean in the world, we notice that numbers from StoneX show that Brazil is truly the great producer of food in the world. We still have many areas, farmable areas to be explored and that are good for agriculture. So this is what we believe. The numbers from the United Nations tell us that of the growth in demand that the world will have for food in the next 10 years, Brazil should be responsible for 40%. And this is the great driver of our business. The world needs more food on a global basis, and Brazil increases its farmable area and will need more seeds. This is our objective. This is the objective of the growth of the company. Going on to slide number five, talking about the soybean planted area. Here we have the forecast from CONAB for the harvest 2021-2022. You can see we went from 38 million hectares to almost 40 million hectares. There are some agencies that are estimating 40.5 million hectares. So Brazil is growing strongly in the planted area. We also expect a record production of more than 140 million tons of soybean for the harvest 2021-22. So in spite of the difficulties with the climate, in principle, The climate problem has not affected the soybean harvest until now. And we have great expectations. The planting is going very well. And now going on to slide number 6. When I talked about this, now we are in Q3, but if you look in general terms, Q1 of the year is when we have the harvest. The second quarter of the year is the quarter when we have seed processing and storage. Q3, which is what we're delivering now, is one when we have strong deliveries of seeds. It's very strong in logistics and also the beginning of the harvest. And Q4, it is a quarter when you have the conclusion. Now going on to slide number 7. The highlight of this slide is this one, expectations versus confirmation. This is a slide that we have since the beginning, since our presentation during Q1 and also Q2 and now Q3. I would like to call your attention to some points. All the expectation we had in Q1, Q2, really already happened. And now, in Q3, all the expectations are coming true. This Q3, we had the beginning of the rainy season and the planting season, greater volume of billing and revenue recognition. So, we should have the main quarter in the year in revenue, EBITDA and profit, all the metrics. Also a period of strong cash generation and results, and the beginning of the settlement of the loans. The loans that we took out in Q1 and Q2. So we begin to pay off the loans. I would like to say that Due to early rains, we anticipated the revenue that were foreseen for Q4. I will talk more about this on slide number 13. But yes, we have expectations for Q4, which is the end of the planting season, and also deliveries. And also strong billing and results in Q4. And probably a great, better cash position. So this information will come true quarter after quarter. Now slide number 8. I would like to talk a little about the operational highlights. One is the beginning of the planting of our seeds in the fields. The expectation is that more than 50% of our fields have already been cultivated. You can see some pictures showing the fields with seeds planted. I would like to talk a little about biotechnology and technology in general. We had a strong growth of revenue in this quarter and a great highlight for technology. So we have grown a lot in technology. We have grown a lot in biotechnology. Explain to the investors, we have today bags with seeds, 5 million seeds. We have bags that vary in price from R$5,000 per bag until R$10,000 per bag. What have we seen a lot? The company has sold more bags of R$10,000 per year. We have sold more expensive bags of seeds every year. They are more expensive because they bring more benefits to the farmer and they have more technology. So we have sold bags with more biotechnology and also a higher volume. So I'd like to highlight this because this represents a considerable part of the increase in revenue, not only the volume that is growing 21.7%, but also due to the adoption of technology on the part of farmers. We have sold seeds that contain more technology. In line with technology, I'd like to talk about the new biotechnologies. So we have a portfolio of 48 cultivars and the eight cultivars that are new. And this is already planted, and we expect to sell them next year. So we have the four new biotechnologies, 18 materials that come with these four new biotechnologies, and we already have RR, so we will have the materials of the Xtend platform, also Intacta 2, Conquesta, and E3. And we believe we already sold a little this year of these materials, although in terms of volumes, it was very small because we don't have materials available. Next year, availability should increase, and we should bill more with these technologies, with these new biotechnologies appreciated by the farmers. I'd like to announce also the opening of distribution centers within our strategy. We will be opening distribution centers in the main regions that produce soybean in the country. The construction will be announced in the next few months. But the truth is that this is a search for quality. Our product is very well known for its superior quality in relation to the market. We have delivered very high quality materials, but farmers have one pain: small window for planting, and the deliveries that are all concentrated in September, October, November. This year, more in September and October. So this is a great problem for the farmers. They give priority to earlier deliveries, and they spend more time outside the cold storage. When they leave cold storage, they begin to use energy and begin to lose the quality indicator. Our objective is therefore to be closer to the farmer, having distribution centers closer. This will allow us to maintain the quality for a longer time. Producers can receive the seeds right before planting. So we are always increasing the quality, and we want therefore to continue having a good acceptance in the market. Going on to slide number nine. In Q3, we reached 75,000 bags sold. It's important to highlight that we're talking about bags with 5 million seeds, 5 million grains. And if you want to calculate, if you want to convert this into bags, 40 kilogram bags, all you have to do is multiply one bag by 25. Each bag is worth, is the same as 25 bags of 40 kilograms. Now, looking at the graph below in dark green, we can observe that in 2014, from 2014 to 2020, we had a strong growth in volume for seeds. These volumes are in thousands of bags. 2014, we produce 23,000 bags. In 2020, 92,000 bags of seeds. In light green, you can see the 9 months. You can compare the 9 months of 2020 with the 9 months of 2021. So I stress the growth of 21.7% comparing these 9 months against the 9 months of last year. Going on to slide number 10, talking about our expansions in Buritis, it is doing very well. If you look at the pictures, you will see that we have to conclude only a small part of the cold storage. So the cold storage is almost ready, the third production line almost ready, and the second cold storage room that we are building, we will conclude, and then we will install the refrigeration equipment. But construction is going very well. Our construction in Buritis, going on to slide number 11, the same can be said for Cabeceiras. So the construction is going very well within what we expected. The cold storage rooms are ready. The third production line is almost ready. The cafeteria is almost ready. And the silos are in line with what we projected. We should inaugurate the first silo and then the second and third. Going on to slide number 12, here we see a more challenging situation in Jaburandi. The same rains that have helped the beginning of the deliveries and planting have hurt the construction in Jaburandi. But even with this greater challenge, I would like to say that we trust a lot in the numbers and our planning for growth for next year. So we trust that in spite of this challenging scenario, we should really meet expectations in the market concerning the numbers for next year. We have the fields already planted. Going on to slide 13. This is the most important slide of the presentation for me. And explaining a little about this slide, and at the top part in the graph, you can see our portfolio of orders, order backlog. So in Q1 2020, 157 million in orders. and now in Q3 2021, 206 million in orders. You can see quarter by quarter the volume that we have in orders in portfolio, order backlog, orders to be built. At the bottom, net revenue, that is the billing that we have every quarter. Talking about Q3 2021, this quarter that we're delivering, you can see that truly it was the strongest quarter in billing in the history of the company. Now, one important point is that if you look at our orders in portfolio in Q2 2021, 546 million of orders in portfolio, we used 346 million of these orders, of this inventory of orders, and we billed 580 million. And thus, burning this inventory, using this inventory, we billed these orders that were in the backlog. So it drops for this quarter. We still have 200 million of orders, 206 million in orders, and in portfolio. And we expect to bill them now in Q4, next quarter. If you want to compare, you can observe Q3 of last year, where we had 188 million of orders in portfolio. What should happen next quarter is that these orders in portfolio will go to zero and they will be billed in the next quarter in line with what happened last year, same as last year. Slide number 14. I would like to call our CFO, Glaubi Caldas, to talk about the financial performance of the company. Thank you, Marino. Good morning. Thank you for your presence in our presentation of earnings for Q3 2021. In the financial performance, we say that here in slide 14, we see net revenue. We had a record of 586 million in revenue in Q3, as mentioned by Marino. And here we stress our report analyzing the last 12 months of the company. So based on this, we have an LTM 2021, 874 million versus 560 million in the same period last year. In general terms, 55% increase in billing. And as said previously by Marino, we see that we had the influence of the increase, 92.12%, also greater volume of seeds with technology, which in a certain way influenced this growth in revenue. Now, going on to slide number 15, here we have EBITDA. In line with the revenue, we see a volume of EBITDA of 89 million in Q. Here, we like to analyze the last 12 months, so we observe an EBITDA in 2021, 151 million versus 104 million in the same period last year. With this, we had a growth of 45% in EBITDA results, once again in line with the growth of revenue, motivated by the growth in volume also, and also a portfolio with more technology. Now, slide number 16. On slide number 16, once again, we have robust results in the quarter, $89 million. Year to date, $135 million in the last 12 months versus $63 million in 2020. This gave us represented a growth of 113%. On this slide, we would like to highlight the behavior of income tax. In this quarter, we had an impact of the costs of the IPO. So we used here expenses and income tax. These are non-recurring expenses. So we guide the investors the percentage of income tax will be maintained, will continue as we saw in the last few years. So we should have the same percentage as in the last few years. So we had also expenses of the IPO, non-recurring expenses influencing the results of the quarter. Slide number 17, reinforcing the seasonality. We have seasonality impact of the operation. In the first part of the graph, we have the behavior of net revenue. We have less revenue in Q1 and Q2, and a strong billing in Q3 and Q4. So we observe that comparing 2021 with 2022, the behavior is very similar. This also has an effect on EBITDA. It tends to be lower in Q1, Q2, and with a higher position in Q3, Q4. This also applies to net profit and reinforces the result of the quarter. Q3, we had record net revenue, record EBITDA, and also net profit, also record. Slide number 18. On slide 18, we see the construction in progress. So this is our commitment to grow. We have three construction projects in progress. In the quarter, we had an investment of $19 million. This is the investment in CapEx in Q3. We have the commitment to deliver these construction projects, and this shows what is being invested in these new plants and expansions. Slide 19. On slide 19, we have a cash position that is significant. So in the previous periods, in the previous quarters, I had mentioned that we have a cash position that is greater in Q3, Q4. This is due to the collections, the receivables, and is concentrated in Q3, Q4. And also, as a result of the IPO, we have a cash position that is more robust in Q3. With this, in a certain way, we begin to settle the debts, the short-term debts we have. We see a trend we see the trend to have a drop in gross revenue. So our cash position was superior by $121 million in relation to the gross debt. Going on to slide number 20, here we have the balance sheet. 21, we have the income statement, where you can have more details, where you can see more details of our operation. Now I'd like to pass the floor to our operator, Mariana Payne. Thank you. We'd like to begin the Q&A session for investors and analysts. Questions should be sent by chat. Please wait while we collect the questions. The first question is from Carlos Herrera from Condor Insider. What are the greatest impacts that the company may suffer with the demand for inputs? Do you know how much you will save after you have all the construction? Do you have a forecast of CapEx investment, new investments in distribution centers? How do you intend to finance them? Well, concerning the impacts the company may suffer with the problem with raw materials, for this year, the impact is basically zero. For Q4, we will not have any impact. For next year, today, you have positive margins for soybean. There is margin. Everything is okay. But the margin dropped a little. What happens is that this year we have a record harvest. Farmers bought the product. They bought the raw materials at a lower price. And they are selling soybean at a higher price. For next year, when we look at the picture today, we see that raw materials inputs are going to historical margins. For farmers, gross margin is going back to 30%. Producers that have leases to pay earn less. In the last few years, it was 40 and 50%, so farmers had a lower cost and a higher sale price. This is based on information from consultants. So this is the scenario. So farmers are going back to historical margins of 30%, which is a trend in the market. Now, for the company, for Boa Safra, the first point, there was still a great distance until the planting season. We are ending the planting this year. Next year, the planting begins in September. So a good distance, a great distance. We have until September. And today we have a picture with problems in raw materials due to problems from China. China is a large producer. But this doesn't mean that until June next year, when farmers need to buy the inputs, that we will still have energy problems in China. I believe you will have the U.S. harvest in the middle of this. The U.S. harvest is planted in April. So in January, they should buy their inputs. So first the U.S. and then Brazil. There may be some opportunities. So it's very distant still. But for Boa Safra, we have a team that is following this. Part of our TSI for next year, we have already bought. We bought at a very good price before the price increase. So until now, we're okay for next year. And I believe we did a good purchase. We took advantage of an opportunity in TSI. and part of our inputs have already been bought. But in this harvest, we won't have any great impact. The second question concerning the photovoltaic plant. Yes, we have a plan for the photovoltaic plant. We have a financial model for the current plant and one that foresees the implementation of the new photovoltaic projects in the next projects. So the plant, it was ready 4 months ago, but we were able to turn it on 40 days ago. So it's very new, very recent. So our idea is to operate the plant for 3-4 months, look at the performance to see if it's similar to the financial model that we put together. But I can guarantee that the ESG is one of our priorities. ESG, you have a cost reduction. It is the generation of electricity. Solar electricity is not only sustainable and good for the environment, but it is also something that is profitable and is sustainable. So we're very happy. We're optimistic. In principle, in the next release, I can talk more about this. In principle, with 40 days of operation, we're very satisfied. I believe it's very good for sustainability and generation of electricity through the photovoltaic plant we have. Now, talking about number three, the new investments in distribution centers, how we intend to finance them. The truth is that we want to do this with our own capital. So we should begin the new plants in the next few months with the company's own cash generation and also IPO cash. But we may also take out loans if we find interest rates that are interesting for us. We're always looking at these opportunities, and for some regions we have good interest rates for long-term investments. So now, Bren, congratulations for the results. Pipeline of M&A. Do you have anything in progress? Do you find good opportunities at reasonable prices? Well, Breno, yes, we are looking at opportunities for acquisitions. We have some opportunities we are looking at. Actually, many. We have looked at many things in the last few months. Now, the truth is that prices are a little high. Prices are high. We have seen high prices. We're trying to negotiate. Today, we're in search. And we want to buy. We may acquire a competitor, but we want fair prices. We're not looking for low prices. We want fair prices. And we want to make an acquisition, but at a high price, no. For one reason, because our search and the demand we feel from our clients. Today, we have difficulty in selling to all the clients that want to buy. So we have organic growth, which is our plan area. We're investing to grow organically. We will announce more investments in the next few months, in the next releases. So our focus is to grow organically, taking care of demand because of our quality, the quality we have. And the distribution centers are helping us to have even more quality. So that's the A plan, to grow organically. We believe this is good to continue growing. And plan B, maybe acquisitions. We would like to make acquisitions, but it has to be at a price that makes sense. So we like to preserve capital allocation, and we want the investors' capital being used in the best possible way. Question from Eloisa Cruz. What percentage of the seeds sold are inoculated? Do you expect this number to grow next year? Well, Eloisa, last year we sold 15% of our seeds with inoculant, with treatment. This year, it's important to see that this is a biological treatment. It's a biological treatment that we import from Argentina. This year, our goal is 17%. We believe we should grow even a little more. Yes, we have sold a lot of technology. Clients are buying seeds with more inoculant, with more TSI, with more treatment, and with more biotechnology. This was a positive surprise. So we believe we will grow a lot. Why? In the U.S., which is a more mature player, more than 90% of the seeds are already sold with some type of treatment, inoculant. And here in Brazil, you have numbers well below that, close to our numbers, 17-18%. But we notice that it has grown every year. So if we look at the last years, we grew on average 2-3% a year. We notice that rural producers, farmers that buy treated seeds that are inoculated, it's very difficult for them to go back in the next year to buy seeds without treatment. So this is our objective, to continue growing, and we believe there is a great avenue of growth, selling technology and additional products during the next few years. Leonardo Alencar, XP, could you comment on the scenario for 2022? Producers are capitalized, but they will pay higher prices. Can this stop investments? Could you talk about margin and royalties for the new technologies? Good morning, Leonardo. So, I believe that, no, I don't believe this. I'd like to comment. Even the cost of the inputs doesn't affect the new materials. What happens with new materials? This year we had new materials, but people were trying them out. We had a low percentage with the new biotechnologies. So we had this year, we sold to some clients, we donated to others. So what happened this year? We got a client who always bought 40 bags. We sent one bag with the new technology for them to plant and try out. So we distributed this way among clients. We build at promotional prices. The new technologies did not impact the result this year. Next year, they will be stronger. Why didn't we have this year? Because we didn't have volume. Although we invested in plants, our business depends a lot on St. Peter, on the rainfall. So we cannot multiply the seeds more than the capacity. We have to buy the seeds. Biotechnology companies also don't have the material available. So we buy a little and we multiply and we gain scale year after year. So of these 18 new materials, they will represent 10% of our volume next year, between 8 and 10% of our volume. So the multiplication factor is 37. So even next year, for our billing, it will not be that relevant, the new technologies. But in the next few years, yes, they should grow. So for next year, we won't have these new biotechnologies for everybody. We will have a small amount. So if everything goes well in the test fields, and we believe so because we've seen these materials in our tests last year and the performance is good, we believe there will be a great demand and a great demand, and no one in the market can supply this demand. So this 8% will be sold, and this will generate a new demand, a higher demand. So these new materials will have volumes, 30%, 25, 30% of the volume, ours as of 2023. So next year is still a year when many farmers will be trying it out for the first time. Some received this year or were able to buy. These are special clients of Boa Safra, but this year, very little. And next year, we won't have enough for all. The multiplication capacity is different. Actually, it's not different. The multiplication capacity is governed by nature. We can't multiply more than once every year. So we need time for the material to multiply. Giving you some color about the royalties. Today, the royalties, biotechnologies, are 5 to 10% more expensive than the previous technology. We did not have high increases in royalties, but I believe that royalties should continue to go up in price in the next few years. But in principle, they were positioned at this price to generate interest and for farmers to try. So I believe that this is the trend. Last question from Gustavo. How much of this growth versus last year came from new clients or higher volumes from current clients? Gustavo, I don't have this data to give to you now, but the last time I looked at this, we had a same customer buyback of 93%. 93% of the clients bought again, and we were growing very well, especially in the north. We increased our team in the north. When I say north, we're talking about north and northeast of Brazil. From Bahia, Maranhão, Tocantins, Pará states. We have had a very strong growth in the customer base for this region. It's the region that has grown the most, in line with our plant in Bahia that supplies materials for the north. But percentage-wise, of the sale for new clients, I don't have this to inform to you. I will ask our people to check this, and we will send you an email with the numbers. One more question, Nathanarix. Could you give us more details about the impact of technology on the revenue in Q3? What are the expectations for these technologies during the next harvests? Just supplementing Gustavo's question, I can tell you that our customer base has grown. We've seen the strength of a stronger brand after the IPO. After the IPO, we're having more demand from farmers for our products. So I believe one of the advantages of the IPO is this free marketing of the company for being listed on the stock exchange and always participating in the medias. So we feel that the brand grew stronger. There are many state-of-the-art farmers who want to buy our product and appreciating the product. So we grew with the IPO. Now, going on to Nathan's question on the impact of technology in Q3. Nathan, the truth is that yes, we are selling more technology, more than we had projected. So it was a good surprise. In comparison with the plants, we sold more seeds with biotechnology, with newer germplasms, more treated seeds. So we see that clients are buying. So this is an important driver for growth. To give you an idea, last year we sold 68% of our seeds with biotechnology. And this year, 80% with biotechnology. Our expectations, I mentioned these expectations about some new materials. These new materials should help us to grow. So we begin to have opportunities to sell 100% of our seeds with technology and more treatment, which last year was 15%. So we have a lot of space for growth in treatment. The growth is happening strongly because, especially because these materials, since they are newer, they have royalties. They have more royalty and they're more expensive. So we have simple seeds without biotechnology, without treatment, worth 5,000 reais. And a seed that is inoculated with complete treatment with TSI and germplasms that are modern, they cost 12,000 reais a bag, more than twice the price. So this increases a lot the price. The price rises. Of course, it delivers a lot of performance to farmers. But what happens? Farmers, when they buy more expensive products, they want to buy from a brand they trust. They want a high-quality product. And these are factors that help our company, because we have the highest quality in our history, and our brand is known for quality. So we have our projects going on with the distribution centers. They will have TSE treatment at the end at the distribution centers, and also logistics. They are closer. Distribution centers will be closer to the farmers. So we see that with these distribution centers closer to the farmers, farmers will not have to keep the seeds outside cold storage. They will be able to pick up the seeds 1 or 2 days before planting. So we're focusing on quality. We believe that if we continue as leaders in quality and supplying seeds close to the farmers, all the new technologies, biotechnologies, will help us to sell. Farmers will buy a brand they trust buying from us. So that's the idea. So we would sell more and more products with technology, and this would be very good for the company. So this is the strategy. Thank you. Since there are no more questions, I'd like to pass the floor to Marino for his final comments. Marino, you may proceed. Well, closing our call, I would like to thank all the investors for the opportunity, all our partners, and I would like to thank in a very special way the more than 40,000 individuals that are investors that make us one of the largest companies in agribusiness in number of investors, individuals. And I'd like to say to you that our journey is only beginning. Thank you. Thank you. This concludes the conference call for the earnings of Q3 2021. Please disconnect your lines.